Reading is a little bit longer than normal. So if you would, I'd like you to pull out your Bibles with me. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew ahead of you there, and it is a New King James Version, and that's what I'm going to be reading from. We'll be in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 24. Beautiful scripture here. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it."
Good morning. How are you this morning? Well, you look good from here. All I can do is give you a cursory note about that, but you look very good. How many of you love the Word of God? Is the Bible your book? Hold your Bible up and say, "I believe what the Bible has to say about God and about me." Say that. "I believe. And I'm going to study the Bible." You're not going to put it on the shelf, huh? All right, turn to Psalm 25. I want to introduce this with a text that I was thinking about while I was setting up here. Psalm chapter 25. I want you to look at verse 4 and 5. When you have it, just let me know by looking at me. Psalm 25, verse 4 and verse 5. I want you to catch this now as we introduce our message. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long." I want you to look up here a minute. Listen now. "Show me, Lord, you have my heart." Put your hand on your heart. "Show me, Lord, you have my heart. Teach me, Lord, you have my mind. Lead me, Lord, you have my hand." Heart, head, hand. "Show me, Lord. I'm moved by what I hear. I want a new life. I want to be different, Father. I want to serve you with a whole heart." Would you say amen? I want to follow God with all my life. I want to dedicate it to Jesus Christ. We're talking again about the latter rain. And last Sabbath I talked about this. That you would wake up to an overwhelming surprise. Well, I guess we did, didn't we? Was I right? And this has changed the world forever. And it's going to change America too. 1,300 to 1,600 people killed. Babies decapitated. You never saw such brutality. Hold on to your seatbelt. Huh? Yeah. Hamas came over and they thought they had a better relationship, evidently. I'm not going to get into politics, but I'm going to tell you something. The whole world looks at Israel as God's chosen nation, especially America. But Jesus, where two or three are gathered, is holy ground, not Jerusalem. Are you with me? Brother Jack had an excellent study this morning. Excellent study. And rehearse some things for me, Jack. Thank you. Excellent. I've always been concerned about the latter rain. How many of you have thought much about the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Are there those among us here today who are a little concerned that if we emphasize too much about the Holy Spirit, we might be bordering on Pentecostalism? Well, don't worry about that when it comes to the Adventist Church. You don't have to worry about that. No, we're on the other tangent. In fact, do you know what the spokesman for this church said? When the latter rain is poured out, church brothers and sisters will say, that's fanaticism. That's not God. And God is going to bypass the hierarchy of the church, and he's going to call men and women from every walk of life. And they will become his spokespeople for the last days. And I have determined I'm going to be a part of that. I remember attending Atlantic Union College. I'm going to move through some of these thoughts. Keep your notes handy. Rather quickly, others, a cursory note, but others I want to talk a little more about. I became obsessed with the thought of being part of God's last thrust in the world. And I am going to tell you something. I could be wrong, Father, but I believe I'm going to be a part of your last thrust. No man knows the day nor the hour, but I'll tell you one thing. I had a time check this week. When you see these things, you know the end is near. What? 1,000 miles away? Even where? At the door. Oh, my brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful to be part of a church that preaches the everlasting gospel and the three angels' messages and believes with their whole heart that Jesus Christ is coming soon? Amen. Atlantic Union College, we met. I was an older college student in my 31, I think, when I met with them. My wife and I had been married since 67, and we talked about the Holy Spirit. And then I went to camp meeting. I graduated AUC in 1978. For me, it was the best college in North America division. Now it's closed. I don't want to get into why, but it's closed. The oldest school, one of the oldest in the denomination. Had one of the best theology departments that I believe the Seventh-day Adventist Church ever put out. I told Dr. Solly that from Southern University years ago. And he had a little disagreement, by the way, he was president. And then I went to camp meeting. How many of you love camp meeting? Don't you love camp meeting? You sit there and you're with people and you know these people love you. Well, even if they don't, they look like they do, right? And you're with them and you're enjoying them. And all of a sudden I saw him, HMS Richards Sr. Oh, my. And he spoke. The other pastors and I invited him over to our tent to pray for a crippled boy. Do you know, we actually believed God was going to resurrect that crippled boy and make him walk that day. And HMS Richards Sr. said to me as he put his arm around me, son, he said, he's going to walk. His limbs are just taking a rest for a while, but he's going to walk. Moved on to Andrews University, where I attended my graduate work, and three or four of us again talked at length about the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In a class with Dr. Hans Lorendell, I asked him, what do you think about the latter rain? You know what he said? Read my books. So I came back to him and I said, Doc, your books don't say anything about the latter rain. Well, I guess you read my books then, didn't you? Yes. Talks about the loud cry and chariots of salvation and so on. Here's my point. I have been obsessed with this for the last 50 years. Do you ever pray to the Holy Spirit? Sweet Spirit, take my life? Oh, yes. Jesus said he's another comforter, didn't he? We just read Acts chapter 2. And what I found very interesting in verse 19 is blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Listen, sounds like Israel to me. Oh, blood, fire, vapors of smoke. How many of you have seen the Gaza Strip? Yeah, in flames. You know the sad thing about this? Whether you appreciate Israel or not, or you're pro-Palestinian or not, to laud people who cut off the heads of babies is a sin before God. Harvard University paraded that. I know. I've been by Harvard. AUC was not far from Harvard University. All these universities in America today with, I'm going to say it, whether you want to hear it or not, with left-leaning professionals have set this country up in a dark road to hell. By teaching things that are crazy. Crazy. Now, if you have your Bible, I'd like to have you turn to Joel, and we'll look at that just for a moment. Joel chapter 2. I want you to see Joel chapter 2 for a minute. Believe me, I know where I'm going. It's just going to take me a while to get there. Are you going to stay with me? By the way, sermonettes are for Christianettes. I thought I'd throw that out, maybe. Here it is, Joel chapter 2, and I'm picking it up at verse 28. Listen to this now. And it shall come to pass afterward. Now listen, Peter doesn't say afterward. Afterward. That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I was talking to Dr. Conrad Vine. Ever heard of him? And you know what he said? He goes to the Muslim world with frontier missions. And do you know what Muslim, what's happening there? Young Muslim women and young Muslim men are having visions of a man in white riding a white horse, talking to them about the book of Revelation, actually taking them through the book of Revelation. Oh, I'll tell you, we're close. Oh, yes, we're close. The end is near, even at the doors. Hallelujah, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, dear Jesus. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. I was having a Bible study years ago in Florida, and there was a little 10-year-old boy, and his mom and dad had not made a decision to join the church. They were kind of hanging on the fence, and I had already said, if you hang on the fence, you don't know which side you're going to fall off on. We were talking, and I mentioned coming to Jesus, and this little boy said, Mama, Mama, you cry at night. Don't you want Jesus? Don't you want Jesus, Mama? From the mouth of a child. Oh, my dear friends, God is going to open up the ears of the deaf. He's going to open the eyes of the blind. And people who haven't spoken up for years about God are going to arise to the occasion and preach this message with power. And if you and I have any doubt, read the book of Esther. Mordecai, her cousin, said, if you don't do this, you will lose yourself. And who knows but what God has you for this hour. Oh, God has me for this hour. Say amen. I'm going to move on down. It shall come to pass that all of those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. And as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. That's very interesting. You don't read much of that in Peter. But in Mount Zion, he's not talking about the literal city of Jerusalem. He's talking about the people of God. Oh, what a God. What a God. Oh, my friends. Galatians 6:16 calls the church the Israel of God. God has a remnant. And I want to say something. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want you to get tired. You're not tired, are you? Okay. If you do, I'm going to have you stand up. You will not know the Seventh-day Adventist Church after the shaking. You won't. You will not know the church. A spokesman for this church, a highly gifted young woman, And believe me, there were some men in this as well. Joseph Bates, Uriah Smith, James White. I've been to their home. I've been to their places in Maine. That's where I was born, in Vermont. So I preached at the Rossington, New Hampshire church. I have been there. Pews for men on one side and pews for women on the other. I've been there. First Adventist church, I've been there. And this little woman said that when Sunday becomes agitated, you say, oh, I don't see any of that now. Keep your eyes open, my friends. When it's agitated, there will be a shaking, and Satan will perform signs and lying wonders. And the latter rain will fall on God's remnant. Listen to this. Those who are left will preach and give the loud cry, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins or her plagues. Come out of her. You belong to me. Don't you want to be a part of that group? Say amen. Oh, Lord, I want to be a part of that group. You know, truth is hard to handle. Did you ever watch the movie A Few Good Men? Oh, don't admit you did, but I'm sure you did. You're probably familiar with one scene. Tom Cruise plays a military JAG lawyer, and he's interviewing a tough guy, this Marine corpsman, Jack Nicholson, in charge of Guantanamo. And Cruise is getting nowhere, and finally he yells, I want the truth. And what does Jack Nicholson say? You can't what? You can't handle the truth. Can you handle the truth? Can you handle the truth? Please don't blame me for saying things you might not agree. You might not agree to. Don't blame me. I would say this. Study the Bible for yourself. Know in whom you believe. Amen. All right, now I'm going to go through these. These are more cursory. In other words, to fill in what I'm talking about. First, in your sermon notes, we're going to talk about the promise of the latter rain. Write it in your sermon notes. You have it there. I hand it out to you. If you don't have notes, ask somebody and we'll get you a copy of some notes. The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the latter rain. And the key verse, it shall come afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. My children. Your old men shall dream dreams. Oh, Father, I'm an old man. But I'm not an old man. Never lost my fire for this truth, dear saints. And the young men shall see visions. And it shall come to pass on the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. This is Peter now. Young men shall see visions, old men dream dreams, and on men servants and maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. You say, well, I'm shy. That's not my gift of preaching. Oh, when the Holy Spirit touches your tongue, you're going to speak. You say, oh, I don't know what to say. Well, did you ever read where Jesus said, I'll tell you what to say? I was called Abraham early on when I went to Florida Conference in 1985. Mel Gordon called me, and I said, well, where am I going down there? He said, well, you got a choice of three churches. You choose. Well, God sent me to a church with a pastor's last sermon. He said, Catholicism has Mary, Pentecostalism has tongues, and the Adventist Church has Ellen White. When I heard that, I could not believe I heard what I heard. And this old man in front of me, Jack Long, he said, turn around. Didn't even know I was a preacher. I was there to look out the church. 38 people. He turned around and said, son, we need help here. Well, I had already planned on going to St. Petersburg, Florida, where there were 500 members. And you know what my wife said? That's this girl right here. She said, we're not going there. You're needed here. I said, here? She said, yes, here. And in 2 years, God grew that congregation to 200, actually a year and a half, 215 people. Because people want to hear the truth. Say amen to that. Peter leaves out the last part of verse 32 where Joel writes, for in Mount Zion, I've already covered that with you, Peter's thrust was called to attention to the death of Christ. His death as our substitute is the capstone of Christianity. It is also true that without the second advent and our high priestly ministry of Jesus, we would of all men be most miserable. I believe this talk is so important that I'm repeating some of what I said last week. You know why? People remember after they hear something over and over and over. Is that true? It is. It's true. 1 Corinthians 15, if you have your Bible, please turn there. We're going to read just a couple of verses. In 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read you verses 19 through 23. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I wish you had time to explain that to you. That's a deep text. For since by man came death, by men also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be what? Some of us are not alive yet. The Holy Spirit hasn't touched our life. We come to church, we're tired, we go home, we sleep. We come to church, we go home, we sleep, and we don't have any energy. It's time that the Holy Spirit resurrects you. And comes in, Paul says, when Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and when he puts an end to the all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. Death. Promise of the latter rain. In the passage, a prophet is talking about the harvest. The harvest. Joel 2:23 says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God." I love that. "Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you." The former and what? The former rain started in August and September to water the ground and soften the soil. And the early spring, the latter rain came in the spring. Many of us have had the early rain long ago, and somehow we lost something. You know what you've lost. Come on back home. You know what you lost. The Lord wants to ripen the harvest. Pentecost represents the early rain, which presupposes a second or a latter rain. You hear Joel tell us there's a remnant that hear the call of the Lord. He's not talking about literal Zion. Again, he's talking about his church. If you're in the church and you've never given your heart to Jesus, why don't you do it now? Joel 3:12-15, this is beautiful. "Let the nations be awakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat," the valley of judgment. "For there I will set to judge all surrounding nations, put in the sickle for the harvest of ripe." That's the wheat harvest. That's those who love Jesus. Amen? But listen, "Come, go down for the winepress." That's the grape harvest. Its vats overflow. Their wickedness is great. And here it is, and I cannot understand why. "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness." Turn to Revelation 14, just for a couple of texts. Revelation 14. You don't mind me sharing my heart, would you, do you, this morning? Revelation 14, and I want you to come down to verse 14. "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand," what? Oh, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. You know why he's going to reap the harvest? Because they received the latter rain. Say amen. The harvest is ripe. Oh, my. Oh, "And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat upon the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come. This is after the Antichrist system in Revelation 13. The time has come, oh, I love this, to reap. The harvest of the earth is what? Ripe. Oh, my, I love that. Number two, the purpose of the latter rain. I'm going to give you 2 points. It's inclusive. What do I mean? In Revelation 14, the gospel is to go to the whole world before the Lord returns. That's the whole wide world. Would you say amen? The whole world. I'm not going to take time to read the three angels. If you've been in the Adventist church, you probably have memorized it, right? Okay. And secondly, it's not only inclusive, it is exclusive. It is exclusive. The whole world will hear the message of the three angels. In the heart of this message, listen to this, is the Sabbath. Did you know that? Yes. In fact, I want to give you a couple of texts just so you can see this. Let me see if I can get this together. Turn to Exodus 20. Because John is quoting Exodus 20, I want you to see something. And this really blew me away one day when I was studying, and I read all the time, but you ever read something and you say to yourself, and say to the Lord, I don't know what I'm reading here. Listen to this now. Here we are. Exodus chapter 20, coming down there to verse number 8. Verse 11, I'm sorry. You have it? Verse 11. Hold your Bible. I want you to catch this now. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all what? That is in them, and rested the Sabbath day. Now come back to Revelation 14 again. Wait a minute. I want to make sure I get you the right text. Don't let my eye deceive me. Revelation 14, 12. Let's see. Here we go. I saw an angel flying in the midst of... Huh? You have it here, my brother. Now, listen to this. Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heavens and earth and what? Why did He say sea when Moses said all that is in them? Because the very verbiage of Revelation 14 harkens back to Noah's flood. It's a judgment hour message. It's a judgment hour message. At the end of this world, under the power of the latter rain, the Sabbath will be seen as a seal of righteousness by faith. I'm not going to rush this. Please stay with me. Jesus was crucified on what day of the week? Friday. Man was created on what day of the week? Okay. When did he rest? Sabbath. When was he resurrected? Sunday. Okay. I told a Baptist minister friend of mine, I said, we rest before we work. We don't work and rest. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, our first full day in this world was Sabbath. Can you imagine Adam and Eve when the Lord said, now you don't have to do any work. I've done the work. You can rest. We rest to work. We don't work to rest. Is that righteousness by faith? And the Sabbath is the heart of it. Oh, my. Oh, what a Bible. We rest in Him before we work for Him. I love that. Thank you, Rocky. That was good. I'm just joking with you. It's exclusive. Whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. That's the key. If you don't believe, if you're not born again, you will not experience the desire to want others to see Christ. John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Not only will he not experience it, he can't even sense it, see it. Here's the point. The latter rain's going to ripen the harvest. But if you're not in the field, forget the harvest for you. A person can be born again, part of those who give the last message. That secondly, the latter rain is the final thrust of the Holy Spirit. And what's the purpose? To ripen the harvest. To ripen the harvest. I will pour it on my med servants and maid servants. The sun shall be darkened. You know, we used that in 1798, the great dark day, May 19, 1780, rather, November 13, 1833, with the falling of the stars. That awakened the Adventist church. And by the way, it awakened the whole world that something was about to happen. And I know now something is about to happen. You can only hold so many plates with chaos in the air before one falls. And when it does, oh my, I want to be in the field. Number three, preparation. I call them beatitudes. Listen to this. I'm going through them quickly. Beware of the counterfeit. Beware of the counterfeit. A false Pentecost. What does Revelation 13 say? He will call down fire from what? From heaven. When did we see fire come from heaven? In Acts chapter 2, when tongues of fire came down and lighted upon the believers. A false Pentecost. I'm talking to a brother of mine, not of this faith, who believes in the secret rapture. And I said to him, you don't have two comings of Jesus. You've got three. You got three comings anyway. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you believe the rapture, that's the first one. And I said, in between there, by the way, the devil does his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:4-10. When he counterfeits Jesus. Acts 2:23, miracles, signs, and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2, miracles, signs, and wonders. Satan's going to do the same thing, and he's going to do something amazing. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 24. I want you to catch this. This should stir you. No wonder we're going to see a great falling away. I'm telling you, it's going to come. Please hold on to your seat. Here it is, Matthew 24:24. When you have it there, say amen. All right, listen to this. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if it were possible, even the elect. Signs and wonders, again, counterfeiting Jesus. But you know, when it says they will arise, false prophets will rise, that word rise in the Greek means physically rise from the dead. Agero. Physically rise from the dead. Satan will bring up, you want to see Paul? I'll show you Paul. You want to see Noah? I'll show you Noah. How about your grandmother? Your grandfather? How about your spouse? I know it's painful. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the latter rain does not change people. It charges them. Oh, amen. Amen. I talked to my son one day, and I said, Aaron, I want you to see how close we are to the end. He said, I know, Dad, I know. Our daughter's on fire, isn't she, honey? She's on fire in Idaho. In every one of the seven churches, Jesus addressed by saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church. What did Peter say? Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. And you're going to see it, and you're going to hear it, my brothers and sisters. Now come down to my last point. The preeminence of the latter rain. How important is it? Webster's dictionary defines the word preeminence as above others or dominant. To seek the Holy Spirit is what? Our highest priority. We are to seek the Lord while he may be found, lest he's not there and we go to seek him. Number two, our greatest necessity. Here we are in 2023. If my dad had even had any inkling of how we're going to make it till 23, I'm going to close with a story about him in just a minute. Hang on to your seat now. Our greatest priority, and last, what did I have in the notes? Our heaviest responsibility. Oh, Father God. Oh, my Father. I'm going to give you some, I call this a final events kind of thing. And by the way, even if you have great controversy or whatever you have, and you go through all the things, we don't know how long these things are going to last. Time of trouble, how long? We don't know. What's the interval between them? We don't know. But I'll tell you one thing I do know. After studying my Bible, the next thing you're going to see is a latter rain fall on this church. And with that, there will be a shaking that you've never dreamed of. A shaking of the church. I'm giving you what Mrs. White says. The majority will leave us. We will have to gather warmth from the coldness of other people. False teachings and persecution produce the shaking. False teachings, listen to this, and persecution. That's why you need to be sealed in your mind and your heart, right? See? Agitation of Sunday. The latter rain falls. God calls those belonging to him. John 10, 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They will hear my voice and come. This is page 179, Last Day Events. Two books you ought to get. Christ is Coming by Norman Gulley and Last Day Events. Oh, my brothers, my sweet family. I don't want you lost, and I don't want to be lost. Amen. I want to see Jesus. I want to go home with the Lord. When I came here, Brother Dennis knows, we had some conversation. When I came here, my wife and I agreed that God brought us here. What do you think? God brought me here. And you're going to hear these kind of messages because I want you to know. I'm going to talk the next time about the close of probation. I want you to know the truth because the truth will set you free. All right, here in closing. My wife and I were just getting ready to move to Oregon. In fact, I was up there, I believe, and you were packing in Lake Havasu. And my brother called me. He said, Daddy is dying. He's in the ICU room, and they're going to keep him alive so that you can make it. Dad was in the hospital in Brattleboro, Vermont, where I was born. I got on a plane. My brother sent someone to pick me up in Hartford, Connecticut. If you've ever been there, that's a great airport to land because you're not far from Vermont. And I went in, and the doctor met me at the door. He said, you must be the preacher. And I said, why, do I look like one? He said, no, but we knew you were coming. And he said, your dad's in the ICU. So I walked in, and here's Daddy. He laid back, tape over his eyes, big tube down his throat, one in his nose, and machines breathing for him. And I don't know why I said this, my brothers and sisters. I still, to this day, do not know why. But I said to the doctor, Daddy's not going anywhere until he says goodbye. Your father's dead. We're just keeping him alive. He's not going anywhere, I said, until I see him and he says goodbye. The doctor raised it. You know, when people look, put their eyes up, that means, boy, they think you're nuts, you know. So he walked out and a nurse came in. She said, Pastor, what can I get you? And I said, do you have any oil here? She said, I can find some somewhere. She brought me some oil. Oh, get ready for this. Oh, man. I could tell you miracles I've seen. God's given me the gift of prayer. I know he has because I've seen miracles. Listen to this. She said, what are you going to do with it? I said, well, I'm not going to drink it. And I put it on Daddy's forehead. And my older brother was there, my younger brother, and I said, Father God, you take life out, you can put life back. Daddy needs to say goodbye. Furthermore, Father, I'm not leaving until he does. Close the prayer. Here's Daddy. He's in the ICU. How many of you have been in an ICU room? We call it intensive what? And that's where you and I are right now, waiting on the Holy Spirit. Intensive care. Amen. And what happens, we're in intensive care, and I'm by his bed, and so I sit down, held his hand, and I'm praying. I said, well, Father, you better hurry up because it's been a few minutes. I forget the exact time, maybe an hour or two, and I saw the tape move on Daddy's eyes. I called the nurse. I said, take the tape off his eyes. She said, we're just keeping him alive. I said, take the tape off his eye. She said, what else do you want? I said, take the tubes out. She said, he's going to die. I said, well, you said he was dead anyway, didn't you? Take the tubes out. I'm telling you, this is so moving, isn't it, honey? So moving. He opened his eyes. And he turned and looked at me. Rocky, what are you doing here? Oh, Father, you remember that day? Oh, Father God, what are you doing here? I said, well, Daddy, you've been sick. He said, and the tsunami was on the television. You remember that? The tsunami that swept Asia and so on. He said, boy, what would Ellen White have said if she saw this? And I said, well, Daddy, you just came back from the dead, I guess. And he said, oh. He stayed alive for 5 days. And this was on a Sunday. I spent Sunday with him through Thursday. Thursday evening I left, and before I left, I walked by and I said, Daddy, he was sitting in his chair, ICU. Nurse had given him something, some ice and so on. I said, I'll see you in the morning. He said, I'll see you in the morning too. Do you think he knew what I said? Exactly. I no more than flew back to Oregon when I received the call from my brother, Daddy had died. Are you dying? That's what he said, he's dying. So I flew back. Friday evening, I got there shortly after Sabbath. And when I arrived at Brattleboro Hospital, Dad had died 5 minutes after Sabbath. I even heard other stories about my mother. There's a miracle. So I said, Daddy, of course he wasn't there. I said, we are going to have one big shebang for you. And we did. 450 people packed the church, didn't they, honey? It was packed all the way back, little church in Vernon. And we told God how wonderful he is. Oh, my friends, Jesus is coming soon. Do you know that? Do you know it in your heart, your mind? Are you willing to give him your hand? Please stand as I pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, oh, Father God, we have not been as faithful to you as we could be. We pray that the merits of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, will be accepted, Father, in place of our spotted garments. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, this is your time, you know, Holy Spirit. The Old Testament, the Father moved. The New Testament, Jesus moved. And now, Holy Spirit, it's your turn. We are waiting the latter rain, but it cannot change us. You've said that. Have you taken the words of Jesus and applied them to our life? We come today. We ask for the infilling of your power. Lift up Jesus in our life. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Lift him up. And Father God, thank you. Oh, Father, thank you for all that you have done for Cottonwood Church. And the church said, God bless you for coming today. How many of you are blessed for being here today? Well, if you don't all raise your hand, I'm going to think I'm a loser.
Thank you. Let's all sing together now to dedicate our hearts and lives to God. Whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in. Now wash me and I shall be one. sweet sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. So wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. My faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Invite the elders with me. You know, we are committed. Step right up here. We're going to pray together. We are committed to help you as a church grow. We want you to grow up in Jesus. Amen. Amen. We want you to have the latter rain. We want you to love each other. No grumbling, but love each other. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we want you to do. So we're going to have this prayer. We're going to pray for you, okay? I'm going to ask Dennis to pray for us as we wrap our arms around each other.
Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for a wonderful congregation,
yes,
members, visitors, all those that are here today. Praise God, 115 this morning.
Yeah.
So you see, Father, you are already bringing in the sheaves.
Amen.
You are already pouring out your latter rain. And Father, we want to ask that when you pour it out on us, that we will be ready to actually accept it.
Amen.
Father, we just want you, we want to do your will. We want you to be in our lives. We want you to shine out to others. We want to be able to go down our own streets and have people know, there goes the Seventh Adventist. I want to know more about what
Amen.
They believe. And that's what we want. We want to show Jesus wherever we are. Now may God bless us. And as we are all together, the elders, all of our members, all of our leaders in this church, all those who are leading out in every area, I pray that you will please help us all to be as a team, be together, and to be used by you. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Thank you for coming up.
Go ahead. Say goodbye.
I want to say goodbye to you. We meet again. Hopefully it won't be long. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. I pray the Lord bless you.